Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And we're going to talk this morning about who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14. While you find your way there, just want to let you know that this coming Wednesday evening, we will be here in the sanctuary. We'll have worship and prayer on Wednesday evening. We had a great time of prayer this last Wednesday night. There will not be any children's ministries on Wednesday, but youth group will be meeting, and we would love to see you Wednesday for worship and for prayer. And just come and join us to just seek the Lord in prayer. The other thing that I want to make you aware of, at the end of the month of September, there is a prayer meeting that is being called in the city of Philadelphia on Independence Mall. It's a prayer meeting for our country, for America. And as I've just been watching the news develop about this gathering, believers are coming from all over the East Coast to gather on Independence Mall and pray. And I really want to be there. And so I'm interested in taking a bus or two of people from Harvest Time who want to go. It's Saturday, September 29th. We would leave very early in the morning, probably something like 4 o'clock in the morning. And we'd probably get home about 9 o'clock that evening. And actually, that Saturday is the first day of 40 days of prayer and fasting leading up to the election. And there's going to be a group that is, they've actually gotten a permit. And for 40 days, they're going to be outside of the White House just praying and seeking the Lord for our country. We need an awakening in America. We need revival in America. And so if you think you'd like to be you'd be interested in joining me and going to Philadelphia on that Saturday, there is a list out on the Welcome Center, and it's just purely to get an idea of how much interest there is so we know whether we should charter one bus or two to go that day. And if you'd like to go with us to pray, I want to invite you to just put your name on the list so that we know that you're interested in going. All right, look with me in John chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 15, and we're going to talk this morning about who is the Holy Spirit. John 14, and beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you another counselor." The word is paraclete in Greek. "He will send you another counselor, another paraclete, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come minister to us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the people that you love so much. Thank you for your presence here with us and for your powerful word. Father, I pray that you'd come and that you'd breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. 18 months ago, we started a journey of discovery together all about Jesus. We started in the Gospel of John, and then we traveled through the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke. We've explored who is Jesus and witnesses to Jesus. We've explored the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, and the way of Jesus. We talked about the wounds of Jesus, one-on-one encounters with Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus. If you're just joining us now, I want to tell you, you have missed a boatload of good preaching, but you can get it on the web. Today, I want to come full circle, and I want to come back to the Gospel of John, and I want to explore with you what Jesus says about the world and the wind of God. In John 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is giving his final words to his disciples then and now. And the two things that Jesus talks about in these chapters are the world and the wind of God. So I want to take a closer look at the words of Jesus together. In John 14, Jesus gives the very first promise of the Holy Spirit. And as I look at his words here, I find seven things that Jesus reveals about who is the Holy Spirit. And I want to share them with you quickly this morning. And of course, by quickly, you know what I mean. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations I find in John 14. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm leaving. I'm going home to my Father. We're going to be physically apart for a while, but he says, don't be afraid. I am going to ask the Father to send you another. In Greek, the word another is allos. It means another of the same exact kind. The Holy Spirit is not heteros. He is not another of a different kind. He is allos. He is another of the same kind. Beloved, along with the Father and the Son, there is another person in the Godhead, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the Father and the Son in every way. Like the Father and Son have always existed, the Holy Spirit has always existed. Like the Father and Son have always existed in a perfect circle of unbroken fellowship with one another, the Holy Spirit has always existed in perfect unbroken fellowship with them. Like the Father and Son are God, the Holy Spirit is God. He shares the same divine nature as the Father and the Son. He was a co-participant in creation along with the Father and Son. Let us make man in our image. He has been active in the salvation history of mankind along with the Father and the Son. And just like the Father and the Son are divine persons distinct from one another, the Holy Spirit is also a divine person distinct from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is not an it, but a he. In fact, John goes out of his way in John 14 with a very unusual use of pronouns. He goes out of his way to demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is a he. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is not just some amorphous blob of energy that emanates in space or emanates from God. Do you know, sometimes we struggle to think of the Holy Spirit as a person because the Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe his activity. Wind and fire and rain, anointing oil, even a dove. If you think about it, there are a lot of depictions of the Father. There are countless depictions of Jesus the Son. But if you look for a depiction of the Holy Spirit, you will only find symbols of him. Indeed, Jesus says in John 14, the world cannot see him and they don't know him. But the Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's not just an impulse of energy. He's not just a manifestation of divine power. He has all the qualities of divine personhood, just like the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit thinks. He has emotions. He has a will. He has plans and purposes. He sees and he hears. He has a voice. He asserts himself. He relates to others. He knows others and he can be known by others. He can be grieved or he can be pleased. He can be resisted or he can be received. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. The Holy Spirit can be the proper object of our worship and adoration, just like the Father and the Son. We can relate to the Holy Spirit in prayer just the same way that we relate to the Father and Son. We can direct our petitions to the Holy Spirit just as we do to the Father and to the Son. There is another of the same kind in the Godhead. He is the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations in John 14. Second, this. The Holy Spirit is the second in a pair of cleats. The Holy Spirit is the second in a pair of cleats. Jesus said, I'm going away, but don't be afraid. I will send you another paraclete, another counselor, another advocate, another teacher. Who knows here what a paradox is? Do you know what a paradox is? A paradox is two doctors. Do you know what a paraclete is? A paraclete is two witnesses sent to help us get a grip on God's identity. The Holy Spirit is the second paraclete sent into the world by the Father. The first paraclete was Jesus. In fact, Jesus is called our paraclete, our advocate, in 1 John 2 and verse 1. The Father sent Jesus into the world to be his spokesman. He sent Jesus into the world to testify about him. That's one of the meanings of the word paraclete. A paraclete is a witness. A paraclete is someone who testifies on another's behalf, someone who speaks on another's behalf. And Jesus came into the world to show us what the Father is like. He came to reveal to us the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. He came to reveal the will of the Father. He came to testify about heaven and about hell and about the coming judgment. He came to open the way to the Father. So Jesus was the first paraclete. His mission was to help us get a grip on God's true identity. And then Jesus said the Holy Spirit is another, a second paraclete, another of the same kind. So what that means is that the Holy Spirit has picked up exactly where Jesus left off when he left the earth. And his role is to continue the work that Jesus began. His role is to continue revealing the Father. His role is to continue revealing exclusive spiritual truth, to reveal the way that has been opened up by the Father. And beloved, listen, this is the cool thing. I like this. The Holy Spirit's witness of the Father is just as powerful on the earth today as when Jesus walked the earth. Amen. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is no less effective in his job than Jesus was. The Holy Spirit's witness of the Father is just as compelling today as when Jesus was here on the earth witnessing to the Father. In fact, to be honest with you, the Holy Spirit's witness of the Father is even more fruitful than was the ministry of Jesus. Jesus' witness was confined to the borders of Israel. Jesus' witness of the Father was confined to the Jewish people. But today, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. That's why Jesus said in John 14, you shall do, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, you shall do greater works than me, because the witness of the Father that was started in the ministry of Jesus is now spread all over the world through you and me by the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are a pair of cleats, two witnesses sent by the Father to help us get a grip on the true identity of God. I like that right there. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations in John 14. The third one is this. The Holy Spirit is our divine paramedic. The Holy Spirit is our divine paramedic. A paraclete also means someone who is called to the rescue, someone who is called to help. Paraclete means a helper, someone who comes alongside to bring aid, to bring help. Jesus said, if you love me and you obey my commands, I will ask the Father to dispatch the helper to you. I won't leave you stranded. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is our first responder. We don't really celebrate Halloween in our house, but we have a harvest party here at harvest time every October. And so a year ago at the harvest party, my kids came home laden with bags of candy. And Denise is very strict. We don't have junk food in our house. We don't have candy. We don't have, my kids have never had soda. We don't keep bags of junk food in the house. She's just real strict about it. And so she wasn't particularly happy that the kids came home with all these bags of candy. So she decided to hide it in the house to, you know, just so she could ration it out as she saw fit. And so my wife decided to hide the bags of candy in the wall oven in our kitchen. Now, I have to tell you that we have a very long history of disasters in our kitchen. We have a long history. When we first got married, we have a teeny tiny galley kitchen, and so we used to store things in the oven because we had no other place to put them. And we have a long history of forgetting that things were in the oven and turning it on. We have a long history of burning up cutting boards, melting spatulas on the stovetop. And so I came home from work one afternoon, and I saw my girls sneaking in the wall oven to get candy. And so I said, this is the dumbest idea ever. First of all, it wasn't doing the job of keeping the candy away from the kids. And I said, secondly, surely we're going to forget. Well, lo and behold, it came time to prepare for dinner. And Denise went over and she turned on the oven to preheat it. And after a little while, all of a sudden, this black smoke started billowing out of our oven. That candy all began to melt, and the wrappers all caught fire. And there was this huge, you know, candy fire going on in our oven. And so I looked inside, and I grabbed oven mitts, and I grabbed the rack out, and the whole big flaming mess I just threw into the bushes outside of our kitchen door. Well, we have an alarm system in the parsonage that is wired to the police department and the fire department, and the fire alarm went off, and we phoned as quickly as we could to the alarm company, and they said, it's too late. The fire department's already been dispatched. And Within minutes, there was a car in my driveway with a blue flashing light, and then the ambulance, there's an ambulance station almost right across the street here, there was an ambulance in my driveway, and then 10 enormous fire trucks all came pulling into the driveway. And we were so embarrassed, so I was explaining to the firemen, you know, I don't know whether you've ever had the fire company come to your house, but they have a policy now that if there's a call, even if you tell them it was an accident or a mistake, they have to come in and inspect and make sure that, you know, everything's okay. And so when I told him what had happened, he wanted to see the rack with all the candy. So I took him to where I had thrown it into the bushes. And he was trying his best to be professional. But when he saw that oven rack with all those melted candy wrappers all burned up, he just burst out laughing. He couldn't control himself. You know, that wasn't a real emergency, but I was impressed by the fact that if I ever really do need help, I was impressed by the fact that help came so quickly. Within minutes, they were all there. Beloved, listen, the Holy Spirit is our first responder. At the request of Jesus, the Father dispatches the Holy Spirit, who rushes to our side to bring us aid. The Holy Spirit is the EMT. He's the fire department. He's the police department. He's the canine unit. The Holy Spirit is the SWAT team. He's the hostage negotiation team. He's the bomb squad. He's the hazmat unit. He's the National Guard. He's the Coast Guard. He's the color guard. He's on guard. He's the cavalry riding to the rescue. He's the Green Berets, the Army Rangers, and the Navy SEALs all rolled into one. Somebody be encouraged today. If you need help, I'm here to tell you that help is on the way, because there is a promise of Jesus resting over your life. I will not leave you stranded. I will come to you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in spirit. He's a very present help in time of trouble and a shelter in the time of storm. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is our divine paramedic. He is our first responder. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations that I find in John 14. Fourth, this. The Holy Spirit is the divine reinforcer of our faith. The Holy Spirit is the divine reinforcer of our faith. Actually, the word comforter, you might have in your Bible, in John 14, in your translation, it might say a comforter. I will pray and the Father will send another comforter. Actually, you know, the word comforter doesn't really fit very well anymore as a translation for the word paraclete. To us, a comforter is one who soothes, one who consoles. But in the 14th century, when John Wycliffe first translated that word paraclete as comforter, the word had a different meaning. The word comforter meant a strengthener. You know, besides a soccer cleat, a cleat can also be a bracket that reinforces or strengthens something. Over at the parsonage, I have a bookcase, an antique bookcase, that's been in my family for about 120 years. Belonged to my grandmother, and she moved it from Philadelphia to Florida in the 1970s. And then in the 1990s, it came back to Philadelphia. And then it went to Missouri with me. And then it moved here to Greenwich, Connecticut. And here in Greenwich, it moved from Windy Knolls to View Street, and from View Street to Essex Road, and finally from Essex Road to King Street. And in all that moving, that old antique bookcase started to become wobbly. So I took it to someone who repairs antique furniture, and he said, "Here's your problem." He said, "The wood glue has dried out," and he says, "The cleats have come off from inside of the bookcase." And so he re-glued the cleats into the corners of the bookcase, and it doesn't wobble anymore. It has been reinforced. It has been strengthened. Beloved, listen, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are a pair of cleats. They come alongside of us, and they strengthen us. They come alongside of us, and they reinforce us so that we don't wobble anymore. They fortify our faith in God. They bolster our confidence in Him. They boost our courage. They stiffen our spine against the pressure of the world. They reinforce our resolve to follow Jesus so that we don't wobble in our faith in God, so that we're not shaky in our Christian walk or in our relationships. I don't know whether you ever feel this way, but sometimes when I read the Gospels, I think it was a lot easier for the 12 disciples to follow Jesus. John said, "We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. We heard his voice with our own ears. Sometimes I think that if I could see Jesus like that, it would make it easier to believe. It would make it easier to toe the line. It would make it easier to deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. But listen, Jesus said the same strength, the same reinforcing, the same staying power that he gave to the 12, the Holy Spirit gives to me now. Paul says, I pray in Ephesians 3, I pray that you would be strengthened in your innermost being with the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit so that you will be rooted and established and have power to grasp hold. We're not going to be shaky. We're not going to be wobbly anymore because the Holy Spirit is the divine reinforcer of our faith. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations I find in John 14. Number 5 is this. It gets better from here on out. The Holy Spirit is God with us permanently. The Holy Spirit is God with us permanently. Jesus said, I'm going away, but don't be afraid. I will ask the Father to dispatch another paraclete to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Three roles of the Holy Spirit that I find here in the words of Jesus. First of all, the Holy Spirit assures me that God is my Father and I am his child. I won't leave you as orphans, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit assures me that God is my Father and I am his child. That's why Paul calls him the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, dear Daddy, dear Daddy. You see, the Holy Spirit lavishes the love of God into my heart. He gives me assurance that I belong to God, that I am his. He gives me assurance of the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's unquenchable love for me. Beloved, listen, when you realize that God is your Father and you are his child, it changes everything. It changes everything about the way you approach him. Can I tell you, my children, they know no matter what kind of day we've had, whether we've had a great day together or whether we've had some skirmishes, whether we've had some fights between children that need to be broken up or whether I've had to give some correction, my children know at the end of the day, they know no matter what kind of day that it's been, they know that I'm going to care for them. They know that they're going to have a warm bed to sleep in. They know that they're going to have food to eat. They know that they're going to be protected and watched over and cared for no matter what kind of day we've had. They know that because I'm their Father. And when you realize that God is your Father and you are his child, when the Holy Spirit pours that assurance of God's love into your heart, no matter what kind of day you've had, no matter what kind of week you've had, no matter what kind of month it's been, you know that your Father is going to take care of you. Jesus said, your Father sees, your Father sees, your Father sees. He knows, he knows, he knows, he cares, he cares, he cares. He will take care of you, he will take care of you, he will take care of you. When the Holy Spirit gives you that assurance in your heart of the Father's love for you, it changes how you approach him because you know that he's going to take care of you no matter what. And it changes how you relate to others as well. You're secure. You're confident. You're open to others. You're able to love. You're hopeful. You're courageous because you know God is your Father. You know, as an old man, John was still in awe of it. Even in his 90s, he wrote, "Behold, what kind of amazing love is this that we should be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High God? The Holy Spirit is God with us permanently. A second role of the Holy Spirit. I like this one. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus just as real to me as when Jesus was physically alive on the earth. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus just as real to me as when Jesus was physically on the earth. The Holy Spirit gives me an inner assurance that Jesus is with me. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' presence just as real to me as if he and I were walking the shores of Galilee together. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' presence just as real to me as if I were sitting at his feet in Mary and Martha's house listening to him teach. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' presence just as real to me as if he and I were sitting at a table together, as if I were leaning on his chest. You know what? Here's the cool thing. I don't hear his voice outside of my head like the 12 did. I hear his voice inside of my head. I don't feel his hand on my shoulder. I feel his touch in the depth of my being. I don't see the smile on his face, but I see his smile on my face. Do you realize we have something that John the Baptist and all the saints of the Old Testament that preceded him, we have something that they could never experience. Jesus said, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist, but even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why? Because I have the living presence of Jesus dwelling inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you what God has been doing in the Greenwich Outpouring meetings? He's been visiting us by the Holy Spirit to make the presence of Jesus very real to us. So that we know that Jesus is just as much with me as if I could see him physically standing before me with my own eyes. The Holy Spirit is God. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm getting encouraged. I'm going to speak in tongues in a minute. I'm happy when I think about what the Holy Spirit does for me. The Holy Spirit is God with us permanently. A third role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I like, this is one of my favorite parts. You know, it's awful to enjoy your own cooking so much, isn't it? But it's so good. It's the Word of God. I can't help it. The Holy Spirit gives it. I can't help being excited. Listen, I love this part. I pray God gives you grace to grasp this with your spirit, because this is something that is so cool. Listen, the Holy Spirit ushers us into the divine fellowship of the Godhead. Amen. The Holy Spirit ushers us into the divine fellowship of the Godhead. We started this journey of discovery 18 months ago in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Three theological truths that are really too wonderful for us right there. The truth of eternity, the truth of the Trinity, and the truth of the incarnation. Honestly, we don't have the human capacity to really grasp it all. What John 1 tells us, listen, is that from eternity past, God existed in a perfect, unbroken circle of fellowship. Beloved, I want to tell you something. God was absolutely complete in himself. God did not create mankind because he needed us. God created mankind so that we could give him glory. God was complete in himself. He was in perfect harmony with himself. He was in perfect agreement with himself. He existed in perfect, unbroken intimacy. And the amazing thing about the incarnation is that God became something substantively that he previously was not. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became something that previously he was not, and he never went back to being the way he was before. Jesus exists now forever in a body of glorified human flesh. God became something essentially that he was not before. And that eternity of perfect, unbroken fellowship was shattered the moment that Jesus hung on the cross. Listen to me. The cross cost God something more than we could ever possibly fathom. God himself was wounded. He who lives in unapproachable light was pierced through. God himself experienced the pain of separation that comes as a result of sin. The author of life tasted death, the Bible says. And he did all of that just so that he could welcome you and me into his circle of fellowship. Listen, if you grab that with your spirit, I promise you, you will speak in tongues. I promise you will. When I think about it, it could make me weep. Jesus says in John 14, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll get it. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll realize what it means when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I am in you and you are in me. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says, my Father will love the one who loves me, and we will come to him and we will make our home with him. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will usher you into that circle of divine fellowship. The same unity that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God has welcomed you and me into that circle. I want to tell you, that is a profound and awesome truth. The Holy Spirit is God with us permanently. Don't be afraid. I will dispatch another paraclete. He'll be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Who is the Holy Spirit? 7 revelations in John 14. Number 6. The Holy Spirit, I like this one. The Holy Spirit is our professor of practical theology. The Holy Spirit is our professor of practical theology. When you study theology formally, it's broken into several different categories. There's biblical theology, there's systematic theology, there's historical theology, and then there is practical theology. Practical theology is applied theology. It's the teaching of the Bible applied to life. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. He is our professor of practical theology. Jesus says that he is the Spirit of truth. He reveals truth to us. And he enables us to receive the truth. He enables us to comprehend it, to grasp it. Paul said the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He said we speak spiritual things in spiritual words, and the carnal mind cannot grasp it. It is only through the help of the Holy Spirit that we can understand these things. See, just like Jesus came to reveal the truth about God, the Holy Spirit is carrying on that work of revealing the truth to us. He gives us an inner assurance of what is right and what is good and what is true and holy. He gives us the innate ability to distinguish between the truth and deception. One of my favorite preachers says that the Holy Spirit helps you know in your knower. He gives us an inner ability to recognize this is good, this is right, this is true, or this is off. There's something not right with that. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean that you'll automatically know everything that he knows. What that means is that he'll supernaturally help you to know everything you need to know. All things means that you're on a need-to-know basis with God. He'll let you know everything you need to know. And usually he waits till the very last minute to let you know it. When God said to Moses, "I am that I am," what it meant was, "I am everything you need." And the Holy Spirit, Peter says, gives us by God's divine power everything that we need for life and godliness. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is here to help you in every practical dimension of your life. He's here to help you in your marriage. He's here to help you in your parenting. He's here to help you in your friendships, in your relationships. He's here to help you in your career, in your finances, even in your physical health. The Holy Spirit is here to help you know everything that you need to know. Amen. This was the spirit of wisdom that rested on Daniel in Babylon. God gave Daniel a supernatural capacity for languages. God gave Daniel supernatural insight into health and fitness. God gave Daniel supernatural ability to make the right decision every time in a crisis. That's why Daniel was so valuable to Nebuchadnezzar. It's because every time in the clutch, in the crisis, Daniel somehow always knew the right thing to do. Why? Because the spirit of wisdom and revelation told him everything he needed to know in that moment. Can I tell you something? You can be the most valuable employee in your firm. You can be the most valuable employee to your boss, the most valuable employee to your company, because the Holy Spirit can tell you everything you need to know on the spot, and that's true. How many of you know the story of Ben Carson? Anybody familiar with his story? Ben Carson is a pediatric neurosurgeon. He grew up in an at-risk environment. He had a learning disability. He was told that he would never go anywhere in life. But Ben Carson knew Jesus. And he prayed and he believed. And through a series of miracles, God took him to the top. He can do neurosurgeries that only a handful of people in the world are able to do. My son Ben has been reading his book this summer, and there was one critical night at a very critical moment in Ben Carson's medical career and his schooling where he had to pass an exam, and he wasn't able to grab hold of it. He just couldn't grasp it. He was going to fail. The night before the exam, he went to bed and he asked God, "You have to help me, God. You have to come and do something." And that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, there was a teacher standing at the blackboard. And all night long, the teacher wrote an equation and he wrote the solution, wrote it out all night long, explaining it, how it's done, how it's figured out. All through the night, he had this dream, and in this dream, this teacher was teaching him. In the morning, he woke up and he went to his exam, and the problem that was on the blackboard was the precise problem that he was on the blackboard in his dream the night before. And he passed that exam with flying colors. Listen, the Holy Spirit, he can teach you everything that you need to know. Amen. Jesus said, I like this part, the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus taught. Beloved, I want to tell you, the reminding that the Holy Spirit does is not to help us mentally recount the words of Jesus. It's not to help us remember chapter and verse and word for word what Jesus said. The reminding that the Holy Spirit does is supernatural help to apply the words of Jesus in the moment. The Holy Spirit gives us on-the-spot wisdom to always act in a manner that is consistent with all the teaching of Jesus. So in every crisis, I intuitively know what would Jesus do. In every conflict, I intuitively know what would Jesus do. When I'm at home, I know what would Jesus do. When I'm at work, I know what would Jesus do. When I'm on Facebook, I know what would Jesus do. Jesus would log off of Facebook. That's what Jesus would do. Jesus says something very interesting in John 14 and verse 21. He says, he who loves me has my commands. Very unusual. He who loves me has my commands. Beloved, listen. When you're in love with Jesus, you have his commands inside of you. You intuitively keep them. It's in state. It's innate. When you love him, it's just instinctive. That's the key to the whole Sermon on the Mount. That's the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's a righteousness that is instinctively inside of you because you love Jesus. That was the response of Zacchaeus when he jumped down from the tree and he instinctively went the extra mile and imposed on himself the highest penalty he could for having cheated other people. The reminding the Holy Spirit does is not that I recount word for word what Jesus said, but in the clutch, I just instinctively know how to apply it. I remember growing up, my father always telling us every day, turn out the lights. Shut out the lights. When you leave your bedroom, shut out the lights. When you leave the bathroom, shut out the lights. When you leave the living room, shut out the lights. I can remember 20 years, turn out the lights, turn out the lights, turn out the lights. He was like a broken record. And I never shut out the lights. And then when I was in graduate school, I got my first apartment. And I remember vividly the day that my first electric bill came. I think it was about $37. But all of the sudden, I was reminded of my father's instructions, shut out the lights. And I ran. I was horrified when I saw that electric bill, and I ran around my apartment shutting out all the lights. In fact, I ran around unplugging everything that I could. And I literally even wondered if perhaps I could unplug my refrigerator for a couple of hours a day and then plug it back in, and it might stay cold inside just to save on electricity. You see, all of the sudden, that word of instruction that had been given me over and over again that somehow never clicked, all of a sudden, looking at my own electric bill with my name on it, all of a sudden I was reminded and I knew what to do. That's the kind of reminding the Holy Spirit does. Beloved, listen to me. It's time we start listening to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you every moment of every day. It's just time that you just begin to tune in. Do you know why we get ourselves into trouble? It's because we listen to the voices in front of us rather than the voice inside of us. It's time we start listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations. Elizabeth, you can come help me. Who is the Holy Spirit? Seven revelations. Finally this. I like this part. The Holy Spirit is the executor of Jesus' peace. The Holy Spirit is the executor of Jesus' peace. Jesus begins John 14 with the words, "Do not be afraid." And he ends John 14 with the words, "Do not be afraid." I haven't counted it, but somebody said that the words "do not be afraid" appear 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. I don't know about you, but at least once a day I need to hear "do not be afraid." And Jesus finishes these words in John 14 by leaving us with an inheritance of peace. Jesus says, "My peace I bequeath to you." That's what it literally says. "My peace I will to you. My peace I bestow on you. I bequeath it to you." Now, beloved, listen, this is awesome. The peace that Jesus has willed to us is the shalom of God. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. See, the peace that the world gives is circumstantial. It's happiness that is contingent upon happenings, but shalom is altogether different from that. Shalom is the wholeness of personhood that comes from walking in covenant relationship with God. Shalom is security in my innermost being because I'm a child of God. It's confidence in my innermost being because I'm a child of God. It's fulfillment. Shalom is mental health. Shalom is emotional stability. Shalom is relational health. This was the inner security that Jesus walked in that enabled him to be a servant on every occasion and even to wash feet. Now listen, this is so cool. This is going to rock you. The wholeness of Jesus himself, the wholeness of personhood that he walked in on the earth, he has bequeathed to us. "My peace I bequeath to you." My mantle of security and confidence and wholeness I bequeath to you. And the executor of that peace is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit oversees the distribution of Jesus' shalom to me every day, so that every day I live, there's nothing missing and there's nothing broken. Wow. That is awesome. Do not be afraid. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another paraclete to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I bequeath to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. Do not be afraid. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the second in a pair of cleats that help us get a grip on God. He's our divine paramedic, our first responder. He's the divine reinforcer of our faith. He is God with us permanently. He is our professor of practical theology and the executor of Jesus' peace. I want to ask you to stand on your feet right now, and I want to ask you to give a great big praise to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Come on, let's give him a big praise. Let's just say thank you, Holy Spirit, for everything that you've done and everything that you do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, would you just worship him right now? We worship you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. We magnify you, Holy Spirit. We bless you. Come on, lift up your voice. Help us, Elizabeth. Holy Spirit. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Overcome. come. Come on, would you sing it? Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Overcome by your presence, Lord. Come on, would you lift up your hands and just worship Jesus? Come on, just worship the Holy Spirit. Worship the Father. Come on, just worship Him right now. We worship you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, we receive you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. There's one more revelation very quickly that I have to give you from John 14. And that's this. Jesus is the gateway to the Holy Spirit. At the request of Jesus, the Father dispatches the Holy Spirit to those who love Jesus. Jesus said the world doesn't see the Holy Spirit. They don't know Him. They don't recognize Him. The Holy Spirit comes only in the name of Jesus. Beloved, listen, this is important. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in New Age meditation meetings. He doesn't come where people are practicing spiritism. He doesn't come in yoga sessions or Tai Chi sessions. The Holy Spirit doesn't work through energy healers. He doesn't come in mosques or Buddhist temples or Hindu temples. He comes only in the name of Jesus. He comes only where people love Jesus. If you want access to all the wonderful aid that the Holy Spirit brings, all of this strengthening, all of this encouraging, this inner assurance of the Father's love, the inner assurance of Jesus' presence with us, participation in the divine Godhead, all of the teaching and reminding, the on-the-spot wisdom for every situation in life, the fulfilling shalom of Jesus. If you want access to all of that, the only way to get it is through the gateway of Jesus. I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me here for just one moment. I wonder if there's someone here in this 8:30 service. It's just not a huge service, but I wonder if there's somebody here in this service. You've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never invited Him in. You've never asked Him to forgive your sins. Oh, the cross cost God more than you could ever possibly imagine. Your forgiveness, your redemption, it cost God more than you could ever possibly fathom. Wonder if there's someone here, you've never submitted your life to Him, asked Him to be the Lord and the leader of your life, and today is your day on this beautiful Sunday morning in August. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. And you want to do that today? If you're here, I want to lead you in a prayer for that. And I want to just ask you, wherever you are, if you just lift up a hand high. You've never invited Jesus into your heart. And today is your day to do it. Would you lift up a hand high? Come on, the Holy Spirit is here right now to convince you that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life. And the way to the Father. Come on, is there someone here? I've never given my heart to Jesus. And today is my day. Today I want to do it. I'm going to pass through that gateway to access everything the Holy Spirit has for me. Anybody here? Anybody here? You've never given your heart to Jesus. Come on, don't leave. Come on, there's someone. Is there somebody else? Never given your heart to Jesus. Come on, there's one. There has to be another. There's always two. Come on, they always come two by two. There has to be someone else. You've never given your heart to Jesus. And today is your day to do it. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone all over this place to lift up your hands with me. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and someone is going to come through that gateway, that doorway, that narrow gate called Jesus, to access everything the Holy Spirit has for us. If you'd lift up your hands with me all over this place, come on. I'm going to lead us, and I want everyone to follow after us in a prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. You lived for me. You died on the cross for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, I'm coming to you now. I'm entering through the doorway of salvation. Jesus, forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me clean. Jesus, make me new. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give a big praise to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, just before you leave, I want you to come forward here and meet me. I want to pray with you, and we have something that we want to give you just to help you get started on your new journey with Jesus. Come on, would you sing it once more? Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by.
Come on, sing it once more. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Overcome by your presence, Lord.
Would you take your hand and just put it on your head right now, just symbolically? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you would dispatch the Holy Spirit of truth. I pray that you would dispatch the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that you would dispatch the Holy Spirit, Lord, to reveal spiritual truth to us and to enable our minds to receive it. I pray that you would dispatch the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things, everything we need to know. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that an anointing of wisdom, Lord, like that which rested on Daniel in Babylon, would rest upon your sons and daughters this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that this week, Lord, you would teach us everything that we need to know to succeed in our marriage. I pray that you'd teach us everything we need to know to succeed in our parenting. I pray that you'd teach us everything that we need to know to succeed in our career, to succeed at work, to succeed in all of our pursuits. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give on the spot wisdom to know what to do in the crisis, to know what to do in the conflict, to know what to do in the crunch. Father, I pray that this would be a week of unprecedented gains, Lord, because the Holy Spirit is teaching us everything we need to know. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us this week of all the teaching of Jesus, that you would give us that intuitive, instinctive, innate ability to act in every situation in a manner consistent with everything that Jesus taught. I pray that you would remind us, Lord, inside in our inner man. I pray, Holy Spirit, come on, take your hand and just put it on your stomach for one moment. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and be our divine reinforcer. Come be our divine strengthener. I pray that you would come, Lord, and that you'd reinforce our faith, that you'd bolster our courage and confidence in God. God. I pray that you'd strengthen us in our innermost being with strength from the Holy Spirit so that we're not wobbly and so that we're not shaky. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come to every person that needs help. I pray that you would come, first responder. I pray, paramedic, that you would come and bring aid and bring help, Lord. I pray that you'd assure us of the presence of Jesus with us this week in a powerful way, that Jesus would be so real to us. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come on, would you lift your hands and just say, welcome. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this would be an extraordinary week, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you give him a big praise in this place? Thank you, Jesus. 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 God bless you, everyone. Take the hand of the person next to you. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Wednesday evening, we'll be here to worship, to pray. Youth group will be meeting in the dome on Wednesday evening. If you're interested in going on the bus trip to Philadelphia, it's not really a commitment. Just we need to know how many people are interested in going so that we know how many buses, whether to charter one or two. And let's go pray for our nation. You're going to have an awesome week in Jesus this week. Father, thank you now for the people that you love so much as we go our own way. I pray the cloud of your presence would envelop us. Pray that your protection would surround us. Pray that your provision would accompany us. Pray that your providence would lead us and your peace encircle us until we come together again. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great week in Jesus.